Are you ready?
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
All right. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Thank you very much for being here. It's always appreciated very much. I'm Jamie Markley. That's David Van Camp. There's Scott Robbins.
Uh-huh.
It's Thursday. That's when tensions flare, at least a little bit. I don't know if it's going to happen today. But we'll start here. A Trump juror has been dismissed.
Yes, a Trump juror was dismissed this morning. A woman who was actually seated on the jury was excused after she expressed concerns about being identified publicly. And she said, well, because of that, I don't know if I can be impartial.
And she doesn't want to be known for this. It's
no.
Like nothing good is going to come to this for me.
No, yeah. I would never want to be on this jury or be on any jury for any former president. I wouldn't want that heat on me. Okay?
There are a lot of people that love the attention, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure. Sure they are. Or sure they do. So, yeah, this young woman who was chosen to serve earlier this week said she definitely has concerns now because she gets home and her friends and family are blowing up her phone. Hey, I know that's you. I saw it written up in the Washington Post and the New York Times. Because media has actually been weirdly specific and inappropriately specific, in my opinion, about going through the biographies of all potential jurors. Like talking about like where they work, those kinds of things. Like I understand, like you can talk about that later. Right now, the judge has not said don't do that. Well, he said I'd rather until yesterday or today, he had not explicitly said don't tell people where they work. But now, I mean, media has been playing a little fast and loose with the ethics, really, to try to paint profiles of who may be on the juror. It's a delicate balance, no matter what the trial is, of trying to explain to people who's on the jury, but you do want to protect the people who are there, you know, to decide the outcome of a huge criminal trial.
Well, think about that. In that area where the vote for Biden was, what, 87%?
Mm-hmm.
Trump got, like, between 10 and 12, somewhere in there. And if you're the one person that says, I just don't think these charges merit what is happening here, and I find him innocent. Oh my gosh, that person's life could be over. And easy to figure out who it is. So it is an odd part of this
David, I wouldn't want no part of this. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I wouldn't either.
None. I believe to be excluded immediately. I mean, the only time I was ever on jury duty, I talked about what I did. I did this.
Yeah.
And they booted me immediately.
It didn't work for me. I was always jealous of that.
I know. I don't know why it didn't.
I don't know.
I guess you weren't mean enough.
Maybe.
You have a scowl on your face when you said it.
Knock on wood, but I've never even had to show up to jury duty. I just call the courthouse and say, hey, I'm in media. Okay, don't even show up.
That didn't work for me either. I talked to our bosses, like saying, hey, there's nothing you can do. I mean, just be honest with it, and that's it. You know? So anyway, we'll see where all of this goes.
Yeah.
It's interesting, and I mean, we shouldn't be surprised. You see how media covers the story. It's very much like, we've got to get him.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, we have to get Trump. It'd be terrible if somebody slips in on this jury that lied to get in there just to find him innocent. Blah, blah, blah. So keeping an eye on that. I don't know this story, David, but New York City is refusing to accommodate what?
Oh, okay, so there was a hearing. We talked about the protest that showed up outside of City Hall earlier this week in New York City. Over 1,000 mostly African illegal immigrants showed up, and some of them had been tricked by activists being told that they were going to get green cards if they went.
Ooh.
But the activists just wanted a big crowd there, so they lied. Because obviously they're looking out for the best interests of these people.
Sure.
So there's a hearing in New York about how the city needs to provide better accommodations for illegal immigrants who came from different countries in Africa. One woman, she is from Congo. She's trying to teach some of the illegals English, but there are 3,000 different languages spoken on the continent. So it's a little tough because even if you say I speak Swahili, Swahili is different depending on what country you're in Africa. So
I never knew this.
Yeah, so
I didn't either.
I mean,
wow.
So this is the point I was making when Trump a few weeks ago was saying, yeah, they got languages nobody's ever heard of showing up. And I know
right.
Liberal media tried to dunk on him and say, oh, he's so stupid. It's no, actually, that's true. If you've ever talked to a public school teacher in the last 2 years mm-hmm. in an area that has been dealing with the border crisis or the illegal immigration crisis, they'll tell you, they know somebody who had to call in someone who doesn't even work for the school district to translate for a kid. I mean,
this is
a real problem because not every city has the resources or the ability to know every single language on the face of the planet. A lot of these people can't read or write either.
Maybe Biden's thinking, give the smartphone when they come, and then it'll translate for them.
But they don't know how to read or write.
Right, that's a problem.
Some of them.
That's why you use those little apps they have on the smartphones, and it'll tell them what we're saying.
Well, Biden is in language unto itself, too.
But then this lady makes it seem like New York City should be doing more to accommodate the 3,000 different languages spoken in Africa. And she's speaking at this hearing and saying, hey, look, you need to do a better job.
Okay.
A lot of our brother and sister do not know how to read and write. So they only speak their, I would say, native language. It's impossible for them to do anything because they don't understand the language, they don't understand the way the city works, they don't understand anything. And you can go nothing, you can do nothing. We need people that speak the native language to teach to those people. That's what we're asking the city, and the city refuses to acclimate.
I don't know who knows all these different languages.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do that.
Yeah, this lady speaks like 10 different languages and is still encountering people that don't know the language. I think the obvious thing is deport them. This is not a good fit for them.
No.
And frankly, it's not a good fit for us. If the government is expected to know every single language on the face of the planet to accommodate people who are coming here who really don't have a legitimate asylum claim, then, we're hosed as a nation. We can't do it. Logistically, it's impossible.
I don't know where else in the world you go to where you expect that country to adopt your language.
Right.
No. Well, it used to be kind of a requirement. If you came here, you had to learn how to speak the language.
Yeah.
We didn't have to learn how to speak yours.
Correct.
That's different now.
Yes. One of the things that's changed over time. And if you mention, we should probably all speak the same. Like, xenophobic!
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No. They just scream at you. All the harpies.
And you can't understand them because they speak a different language. So,
Man, this protest at Columbia. This is getting a little out of control. All the fires burning overnight. All this nonsense going on. Pro-Hamas.
Yeah. I just like this story. Pro-Hamas protesters at Columbia claimed that Jews targeted them with a chemical weapon. They said it was something called skunk spray developed by an Israeli company. Now, apparently that actually does exist. The protesters claimed two students who are in the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, deployed this to break up the protest. It even got brought up by Jamal Bowman during congressional hearing featuring the president of Columbia University.
Oh, my gosh. Fire alarm, Jamal?
Yes. Yep.
Here we go.
Madam President, can you respond to the there was a so-called chemical attack on campus at one point targeting so-called pro-Palestinian students. Can you quickly respond to that?
It appears to have been an odorous substance that was sprayed on demonstrators. The individuals involved have been suspended from Columbia.
So suspended from the school, so they no longer attend the school, the students
Correct.
Who were involved?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Well, one of the students that was suspended is now suing Columbia University because it wasn't a weapon. It was something called, and I quote, liquid ass. It's a gag gift that he bought off of Amazon. And you got all these students at Columbia going, this was a chemical weapon that was deployed by the Jews.
It's fart spray.
It was fart spray, yeah.
Formerly known as driving with dad.
Oh.
Golly.
Oh,
that's what it was.
Okay. So
chemicals
threatening Jewish students, screaming "Death to America, death to Israel!" Ah, give it a pass. You spray out the fart spray, you're gone.
Yeah,
you're out of here. Oh my gosh, that's funny. Jamal Bowman standing up for justice.
Yes,
there you go.
A chemical attack. Yes. Meanwhile, and yesterday it's kind of a wild day, and David Van Camp, if you didn't know, former news guy, news director, was back on his news hound ways trying to track down a story and the details, because we heard that Joe Biden's uncle was eaten by cannibals.
Yeah, yeah, two different
times.
We've
never heard it before.
Two different times, Joe Biden, after visiting a war memorial, Joe Biden told this weird story about his uncle Ambrose Finnegan, who died during World War II. And here is the story as told by Joe Biden.
Okay, here we go.
And my uncle, they called him Ambrose Brosey, they called him Bozy. My uncle Bozy was a hell of an athlete, they tell me, when he was a kid. And he became an Army Air Corps before the Air Force came along. He flew those single-engine planes as reconnaissance over war zones. And he got shot down in New Guinea. And they never found the body because there used to be there were a lot of cannibals for real in that part of New Guinea.
Whoa.
So Uncle Bozy was lunch.
Yeah. Well, so okay. His uncle did die in a crash in World War II. He wasn't shot down. It was some sort of engine trouble. I need to correct myself yesterday. I had the obituary that I had read had him dying in a different incident, but okay. These were like a month apart. So there was like engine failure or something happened. The plane crashes in the ocean. One crew member survived. Joe Biden's uncle did not. Uncle Bozy did not. But there is a tribe in New Guinea that practices cannibalism, but they were not involved in Joe Biden's uncle's death. They did not eat his corpse. They did not swim out to the plane wreckage just for a little snack. He didn't.
My goodness.
I mean,
the amount of lies over time, it's unreal. And is that, does he think he's going to get some sort of credibility for that? Or is that just dementia? I don't know what it is.
These crazy, exaggerated lies that you wouldn't believe it if it was coming from somebody you knew.
I got to believe it's the history of lying. It's just whatever. Whether it's Nelson Mandela.
Holy cow.
Or he finished at the top of his class, whatever. He's just a pathological liar. That's all I could figure.
I think that he probably heard somebody say that there were cannibalistic tribes on New Guinea around that time, and he conflated the two things or wanted to make his uncle's story. Like, one, his uncle was not shot down by the Japanese. And two, no, he wasn't eaten by cannibals. That's absurd.
But, dude, in any other time in our history, if the sitting president said something like this, okay, it would be all over legacy media, and then the next day, they would be asking the White House to clarify, does Joe think his uncle was eaten by cannibals? But no one will say a thing, because that's her whole job, is to protect them.
I reckon it tastes pretty good to me.
We don't know! It's insane!
I like part of
because we don't have an honest media.
Part of the fact check was the White House did not provide additional details about Biden's claim that cannibals prevented the recovery of Finnegan's remains. That's just a great combination of words, man.
Jeez. I mean, tragic what happened to his uncle, but he was eaten? Somebody should follow up on that. Oh, did you hear about the D.C. mayor? A little trip to the Masters on the people's dime. That and much more coming up.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Blue Star Medicated Ointment gets 5-star reviews from our loyal users for fast relief of the pain and itch of almost any skin irritation.
Blue Star soothes insect bites and fungal infections.
It really works on the summer rashes I get every year.
I had psoriasis on my elbows. Blue Star worked wonders.
Amazing stuff. Smear a bit on and the itch is gone.
Look for the white box with the blue star in the first aid section. Feel blue star work fast or your money back.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a three-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
The Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. All right, I saw a couple of different stories. One, illegal immigrant charged over hit-and-run crash that killed advisor to Democratic senator. Did you see this story?
I did see that.
Wow.
Yeah.
This was an advisor to Democratic Nevada Senator Catherine Cortez Masto. Earlier this month, the suspect, 18-year-old Elmer Rwanda Linares, charged with police failing to stop at the scene of an accident after a crash at 4:30 a.m. That was in Reno on April 6th, led to the death of 38-year-old Kurt Engelhardt, a senior state advisor to Masto. And apparently, a person here illegally entered the United States March 12th, 2021, near Rio Grande City, that is, in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Port of entry without inspection by an immigration official. United States Customs and Border Protection arrested him, and he was later released on his own recognizance June 22nd, 2021. And then you know how the rest of this goes. You're like, okay,
yeah,
that's tragic. And for the family, you say, well, hey, traffic accidents happen all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If that happens already, the family, you're thinking about the matter of 10 seconds. If they would have left a little later, if it would have been a little sooner. And it's this terrible thing you go through in your mind, replay it time after time and after time.
Mm-hmm.
And with this, you're thinking the person should not even have been here. It's just crazy. And then, saw this in the New York Post, a Haitian migrant who allegedly killed two of his roommates in New York used the Biden administration's signature CBP-1 program to legally enter the country, according to Fox News.
Oh, there you go.
Canol Baptiste, accused of second-degree murder, first-degree manslaughter, and fourth-degree criminal possession of a weapon in Middletown, New York. Haitian national entered the United States on July 25th of last year after making an appointment through the app, which allows migrants to pre-arrange travel to the United States and be pre-screened, then enter the country, collect paperwork, and stay and work up to 2 years.
Yeah, it's a nice little, it's like immigration Uber. That was their genius idea to stop the border crisis.
And I understand that this is radio. You can't see this right now, so I'm going to ask David and Scott both to paint the picture. The mugshot is one that you don't quite see every day as I'm showing it to you. How would you describe that?
Wow. It looks like some voice is going to come out going,
See, from my vantage point, maybe it's just because the image is a little blurry. He looks like a very, very coked up Eddie Murphy to me.
Yeah.
With a weird mustache.
It looks like the eyes are about to roll all the way to the back of his head or down or whatever.
I don't know. Coked up? I'm stoned to the bone, maybe. Yeah.
Oh, definitely stoned to the bone.
I mean, those eyes are barely open.
There's a demonic presence there
that I'm not
comfortable with at all.
Yeah, it's...
I averted my eyes quickly.
I think it's one of the others totally stoned or demonic. Or who knows, maybe both.
Yeah.
This is the Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. All right, biggest story of the day, and we will get to that story of the D.C. mayor.
Yeah.
It's a wild one.
biggest story of the day is, of course, I mean, you've got the trial going on, well, the jury selection for the trial of Donald Trump in Manhattan going on. Mm-hmm. Apparently, he took a phone call in the courtroom.
I heard something about that. Do we have more details on that?
That's funny.
Well.
Hello.
Hello. I'm busy. He's calling into Fox and Friends.
You know? Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Screw that gag order.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, a lot of people I know left media was freaking out. He fell asleep. And he calls him Sleepy Joe. People are telling me, going, that's hilarious. Yeah, he's so bored in there. Yeah. All right, we'll get to a news update. And what's your story, straight ahead? Van Camp and Robbins show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Happened to see this story at Fox. You know, Muriel Bowser, D.C. mayor.
She's fantastic.
Well, you think about January 6th, it was a failure on her part. She was never held accountable.
Well, I think it went to plan, just as it was planned.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. This is kind of surprising. She went to the Masters.
Oh, well, a lot of people go to the Masters.
On the taxpayer dime.
Well, see, there's the problem right there. Yeah.
You know why?
Official business, I'm sure.
Economic development visit.
Yeah. How do I get the Masters in Washington, D.C.?
You know, I'll just read the story as it is. Right, get your reaction to it.
All right.
Bowser apparently traveled to the ritzy Masters golf tournament on the taxpayer's dime, writing off the expense as a business opportunity to, quote, promote sports and economic development in the nation's capital. It is 500 miles away.
I was just going to say, yeah, it's not like it's close.
According to the mayor's public schedule, Bowser attended the world-renowned golf tournament as part of a sports and economic development visit.
Gosh.
A spokesperson confirmed to DC News Now that the airline flights to and from Augusta, Georgia were paid with city funds, though the cost of the flights were not released. I'm sure they weren't cheap.
No.
And your accommodations, Masters Week?
Yeah.
Around there? It goes up. In a phone call, Bowser's communications director, Susana Castillo, confirmed to the local outlet that Bowser was invited to the tournament by two people leading a new city task force to revitalize the Gallery Place in Chinatown neighborhood. Castillo said that whether it's here in the city or another country, the mayor is willing to advance administrative interest, no matter the setting, including the golf tournament.
No matter the cost. And if she has to get a massage and surf and turf it, then so be it. She will make that sacrifice.
Where can we get that gig?
I
want to go to the Masters so we can talk about business.
We are just in the wrong business, aren't we?
Holy cow, man. All I can think is the mayor of Dalton, Illinois is like, what? That Tiffany Hinyard?
Yeah, she needs to get to a bigger city with a bigger budget.
Well, yeah, I mean, way bigger than that, I guess. Because you remember that whole story? And now she's hired the former Chicago mayor.
Yeah.
Lori Lightfoot, to look into this. But if you remember the report there...
WGN Investigates has cataloged tens of thousands of taxpayer dollars spent on trips, meals, and more by Tiffany Hinyard and her allies in Dalton and on the Thornton Township Board, where she's the supervisor.
One time, don't you want to hear how the trip went? What did you learn? And what are you bringing back to the city that's really going to help the citizens here?
Yeah.
What a load of BS that's going to be. You know, I remember, you know, way back in the day now, Scott, it was probably when David was 8 years old. There used to be, quote, radio conventions.
Oh, yeah.
And you'd talk your boss into going, and you would go, and they would want to report back. What did you learn there, and how are we going to benefit from this?
Right.
And you'd have to make up some BS on a sheet, like, yeah, it was really invigorating. It was great to network with people. Dude, it was a party, and you golfed, and you went to shows.
You drank a lot.
I suppose you... went to a seminar or two? A
couple of them, just so I could write something down.
Yeah, take the picture with somebody. Yeah. See, here it is, hobnobbing.
Yeah.
that sort of thing. That's what it sounds like. But people should be.
I didn't really do it on taxpayer money, though.
That was the thing.
Right.
Got to watch out who's critical.
Yeah.
Of Muriel Bowser. I know one thing. It better not be black people. It better not, because Hinyard told you that's a bunch
y'all should be ashamed of y'all. Y'all black. Y'all are black. And y'all sitting up here beating and attacking on a black woman that's in power. Y'all should be ashamed of yourselves.
Yeah, you forgot the memo. You can't do that.
No, I can do what I want, and you're going to deal with it.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. So we'll keep an eye on that story. What they learned that they can bring back to D.C. from the Masters. I'm sure it was an awesome trip. Meanwhile, may not be the biggest story out there, but it caught your attention. Do this every day about this time. David, today, what's your story?
My story is yet another example of Biden's failed open borders policy.
Hmm.
Prince Harry has officially changed his residence to the United States of America.
Oh, boy.
This was in an official filing for one of his charities in the UK. He listed his private residence as being in the United States, or as his main residence in the United States.
Hmm.
This is probably the worst thing that has happened in Biden's America. He and his shrew of a wife are permanently here.
Terrible. Here's a question that I really don't know the answer, and that's why I'm asking it. Is there anyone that cares anymore? They kind of shot the whole thing down themselves, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
I mean, her podcast was a disaster. The Netflix thing went belly up. They kind of showed themselves for who they are, and no one likes them, it doesn't seem.
Which cartel smuggled them in?
Yeah, right. I knew they had lost it when my mom, she loves the royal family, she's a big fan of the royal family, liked Meghan Markle, but after I guess it was the Oprah interview,
yeah,
where they're just trashing Queen Elizabeth and all of that.
Oh yeah,
that's where it turned. I'm sitting at the Olive Garden with my mom, and she brings it up, and we're having that conversation, and she just goes, I can't believe he was doing that. That's just totally out of line, irresponsible, terrible. I'm like, man, all right. So I think if my mom, who's a big fan, has now turned on them, I think, yeah, obviously, the rest of society has.
Wow. So let me make sure I understand this. So when Meghan Markle especially is, like, mocking the queen.
Mm-hmm.
She's saying Harry should have stubbed and said, hey, hold on a second. Yeah. Like, he didn't man up at that time.
Right.
He's not manning up at all.
Did it ruin the breadsticks for you?
Not at all. Actually, the breadsticks have never tasted better. I'm like, all right, we agree on something that's in the sort of social, political sphere. This is a great moment. Let's break this delicious bread together.
There you go.
Three helpings of endless salad.
Yes.
It's a beautiful moment.
It is.
Scott Robbins, today, what's your story?
Yeah, I kind of debated whether or not to do this story or not. Then I decided, yeah, go ahead. Because when you reach a certain age in life, a lot of the people that meant something to you or impactful one way or another die, unfortunately. That's the way life is.
Sure.
And if you're between the ages of like 55 and 65, maybe 70 today, this was kind of tragic. Dickie Betts is dead. The guitar player for the Allman Brothers, 80 years old, passed away. And they said it was profound sadness. Family was gathered around him. Apparently, it was a lengthy illness. But anyway, just another hero, kind of just.
Yeah.
I probably saw those guys six times.
I think we saw them together once.
We did.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah, and it's just one of those weird, when you feel those moments where you don't know the person, but it's like, wow, that's just impactful again, you know?
So. I have a Dickie Betts story, not directly, indirectly.
Really?
Yes. I'll make it short. So, I'm trying to think of what year it was. It would have been, I think, late 90s. Okay. I love the band Tesla.
I know.
If you listen to the show, and Scott and David both will give me a hard time for it, lovingly. It's before a Tesla show. We're having dinner and just talking about different stuff. And I'm sitting there. Well, I'm sitting next to Jeff Keith and Frank Hannon, the guitar players across from me. And Hannon talks about how he just started dating Dickie Betts' daughter.
Oh, wow.
Now, if you knew anything about Dickie Betts, he wasn't afraid to fight.
No.
He was never afraid to throw down. It was kind of known for that. And we were giving Frank the hardest time. Like, if you mess this up, Dickie's coming for you, man. She's like, oh, dude, I know. I'm already scared crapless, basically. They ended up getting married. And last I knew, I think they're still together.
I think they are still together,
yeah,
actually.
It's a really cool thing.
Yeah, anyway, it was just kind of one of those. I didn't know he was sick, but apparently he'd been ill. And anyway.
Wow.
But he had a sound, too. You could always tell it was Dickie Betts by the sound of the tone of his guitar.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that is well said.
Kind of a music geeky thing, but there you go.
No, man. That's what your story is all about.
Yeah.
That's, you know, why you should be able to do that. Yeah, oh, gosh, man. I always debate. I try to go off of what you guys are doing for the story and then what I'll end up doing. I'll just do this because this could be a little bit longer, but I'll try to make it as short as possible. You hear often that we need to have a national conversation about race.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There was someone on CNN just last week that was saying this after the OJ death. Until we have a conversation about race, we're never going to get beyond this. But the thing is, with the likes of, I mean, really intelligent black men or women, they don't want them in the conversation. I'm thinking about Glenn Lowry and John McWhorter. I mean, two intellectual heavyweights. They don't get invited to the national conversation. And it was interesting because on their podcast, they'll take questions. And I'll just leave it at that. And Lowry will give the question, and then they will start to answer it.
On the general topic of racism, is it ever acceptable to apply general stats regarding violent crime among and between the races to our personal lives? For example, I believe you both have expressed that due to the current crime rates, it's perfectly rational to fear groups of young black men in downtown Chicago. And if that is acceptable, then when is the application of stats not acceptable? How would you define a truly racist act or belief?
What do you think of that? It's a pretty good question.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll start off in responding to that question by saying, yes, it is sometimes acceptable to apply general stats regarding violent crime between and among the races to our personal lives. That's simply common sense. If I know that the offending population in a particular city at a particular point in time is vastly disproportionately black, and I see a group of black youngsters at 1 a.m. when I've come out of the club and I'm staggering to my car, and I see a group of white youngsters and I regard the first as more menacing than the second, that's a protective inference that I'm making that I don't see how you could possibly regard it as morally inappropriate.
You agree? Because a lot of people will shriek at hearing just what he said.
Yeah,
I do. And for the people who do shriek about that, let's flip it around. Let's just say that you're a young black man and you're walking in a small town in deep East Texas. Mm-hmm. And you see a truckload of four dudes. They got the stars and bars. They're drinking tall boys in the truck, in the pickup mm-hmm. truck. And they're yelling and then they're, you know, acting like idiots.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to try to avoid them? Because you'd be kind of dumb to not think about avoiding them.
Yeah.
Hell,
well,
I'll
at the same
avoid
time.
Them.
That's actually a great point, David. Well, that's a great point.
Well, yeah. And that's what I was thinking also is both of these guys will admit, and McWhorter goes on to talk about his experiences on the subway in New York City. Okay? It's like, no, I mean, there's a part of common sense that's involved here. And you understand. And McWhorter is saying, listen, if every guy, and I could play it for you a little bit later, they got on that was white, acted like the young guys that are black, then maybe I would have some sort of fear, but I've never seen it. And it may be 1 out of 10 or 1 out of 15, but still, you can't help but recognize what the reality is. So you're more on guard. Now, when it comes to, you know, just meeting everyday people, or they were talking about if it's grading papers, things like that. Well, yeah, you try to separate all of that out. But with that question, it's like, no, that doesn't mean you're a racist person. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. It means you're, well, a common sense person that understands analytics. So, but it would be great to see a panel of people, including guys like Lowry and McWhorter, talk about these types of things and exchange the ideas. But it seems like, well, the powers that be say at a network, never want that to truly happen.
Right.
They want to keep people divided.
Well, sure. They don't want to bring them together. No.
Heck no.
No common ground.
Or bring other ideas in. Right. So rat-related illnesses are soaring in New York City. Oh, wow. We'll get to that much more coming up.
I see you by the fiber and laxatives. You still using those to manage your constipation with belly pain? If your symptoms keep coming back, you may have irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. So you may need more than over-the-counter treatments to manage it. Ask your doctor about how Linzess can help you get ahead of it.
Linzess linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Every business faces challenges, but complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping shouldn't be one of them.
With USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service, you can avoid all the noise.
No more unexpected surcharges, hidden fees, or complex rate structures.
It's just easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. Tune your business's frequency to success and turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. I mentioned it before. There's a very common sense reason gold is pushing to all-time highs right now. There are a lot of reasons that's happening.
Well, yeah. I mean, inflation's hanging around, and this is a good way to hedge against inflation.
Yeah, the national debt, too, is out of control. It's about $34 trillion and moving forward, causing many to worry when the whole house of cards is going to come crashing down around them.
Well, and the world doesn't seem like such a peaceful place right now.
No, you wonder
what's going to happen next.
Yeah, all of this adds up to instability and uncertainty. That's why so many Americans are turning to Birch Gold Group. And if you have not diversified your savings yet, you can secure a portion of them with gold from Birch Gold.
Yeah, simple, too. Just text MVCR to 989898. You'll get a free info kit and learn how to convert your existing IRAs or 401ks into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold. Doesn't cost you a penny either.
They have an A-plus rating with Better Business Bureau, tens of thousands of happy customers, and you can count on Birch Gold as well.
All you got to do to get started is text MVCR to 989898. That's MVCR to 989898.
So we got a rat problem, well, in a lot of U.S. cities, but the rat-related illnesses are soaring in New York?
Yeah. New York has a brand, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what the mayor said.
Yeah. So the health department in New York is now warning that in 2023, rat-related sickness soared to the highest level in a single year. The health department is warning of a worrisome increase in the number of infectious cases that come from contact with rat urine. So you handle something that a rat peed on, you get sick, and it's treatable, but if you don't get treated, you can get things like kidney failure. I mean, it's terrible stuff. It's gross.
Dang.
Now, last year was a record for rat disease. They used to be averaging, with this particular illness that they're warning about, they used to see about 3 cases a year. Now that's 24 cases, and they've already doubled the usual average this year alone, 3.5 months in. Now, Mayor Eric Adams, who appointed a rat czar.
Oh, yeah.
If you remember that. Now, the rat czar apparently is having trouble because somebody got mad about rat poison because it killed a beloved owl. Like, sorry, you got a rat problem, you got to take care of the rats. If a few owls have to die, so be it. I mean, that's
part of it, man.
I mean, that, it sucks. But they're like, we have to use all natural, non-toxic. Okay. Just kill the rats.
Okay. Yeah. Nobody rides for free. You know that. You know I'm bringing rap music into this.
I was waiting for it.
Do you recognize this song?
No.
This runs in the credits at the end of Point Break.
That's why.
What do you mean you've never watched Point Break? Are you serious?
I don't.
You need to watch Point Break today.
You tell me that every year since I've known you. Yeah.
Are you ready?
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Looking up at the news monitor, second-seated juror excused from Trump trial.
Oh, no.
Breaking news.
Thank you, honey. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Yeah, this is going to go on for a while.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I wonder what the reason was for this one.
Yeah, we'll see.
There was word that there was a past criminal conviction that was not disclosed initially.
Hmm.
That's someone that really wants to be on the trial.
Yeah.
Why would you not do that?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't seem like the type of thing you forget.
No.
No, being convicted of a crime, criminal crime, yeah, I wouldn't think so.
Yeah, usually you get that question and you say, convicted?
Yeah, never. Convicted.
No, not convicted.
Yeah.
No, of course
accused?
Not.
Accused? Yeah.
Right. So keeping an eye on that. Meanwhile, an American Palestinian activist says people shouting death to America. Yeah. That's just an expression.
Yeah, there's a left-wing activist named Nerdine Kizwani. She is pro-Hamas. She claims that an NYPD officer brutalized her and ripped off her hijab during a protest. The NYPD actually put out a video which showed she lied about that.
She absolutely did.
I was going to say, where's the proof of that? I don't believe
video.
It for a second.
Didn't
the only time I saw a police officer touch her hijab is an officer was helping her to put it back on when she was in police custody already. But
okay.
She's a cry bully. You know, it's one of these things. There's nothing too extreme to do when you're fighting for social justice, but the moment somebody says shut up, she's a victim.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Now she was interviewed by Piers Morgan, and he asked her about the whole, you know, death to America chance that seemed to be popping up rather frequently in the United States.
Well, yeah.
I think that's just a phrase maybe said by an individual.
Well, no, the whole crowd began joining in.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, yeah. So this guy said it, and then the whole crowd began chanting it. What would you condemn that?
I'm here to talk about the entire...
We can stop it right there.
Mean, yeah.
They won't. Because they believe it. They want it.
Come on.
That's the deal.
Entire
Hang on.
Israeli
you're here to answer my questions, actually. Would you condemn what they were chanting, death to America?
I think we should condemn Palestinians actually being killed.
Okay.
I think that.
That's not the question I'm asking you. So I will ask you about Gaza. But on the question I asked you, would you condemn people in America chanting death to America? What do you say?
I don't condemn how people choose to express their rage verbally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Got it.
That's pretty much all you need to know right there.
Yeah.
Now, I wonder, and this is a hypothetical. I'm certainly not leading this chant. Purely a hypothetical. If you had a group of people counter-protesting at one of her events saying death to Muslims, I wonder what her reaction would be. Because clearly, I mean, my reaction would be that's abhorrent. No.
Yeah, you shouldn't do that.
But I'm willing to bet we would be in agreement on that.
Yes. It might be one of the times where you say, okay, that's Islamophobia.
Yeah.
We've heard that word forever, and it's like, what? What are you talking about? That would be okay, yes. Well, you could agree on that, but they won't say this.
Nope.
It's just part of it. Well, did you see the pro-Hamas protesters. And sometimes if you use that phrase, pro-Hamas protesters, it's pro-Palestinian.
Yeah, they don't like that.
It's not pro-Hamas.
Right.
Really? Because as far as the protesters in New York, no, they say, we are Hamas.
Yeah.
I just said it. I mean, listen for yourself. I think all the F-bombs got bleeped.
David.
I think so.
We are Hamas!
You're Hamas. Wow. That's a good one. You're what? You're Hamas?
Yes, we're all Hamas, okay?
I'm with Hamas!
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a whole group of protesting and yelling at these people. Got their picnic tablecloths out, covering their face and everything else.
Well, I mean, I will say death to Hamas. I'll lead that chant. I'm fine with that. It's a terrorist
organization. Yeah, it's a terrorist group. They're saying that we're all Hamas. We are a terrorist organization. That's what she's saying.
We are Hamas. We are the terrorists.
Rewrite that. Oh, my goodness. It's hilarious. It's nuts, man.
Yeah, I know.
Like when Michael Jackson walks into the studio with a suicide vest.
Yeah.
I'm cracking up at this, though. And there's this other thing going on in my head. Tell me if it's just me. And this could be totally stereotyped over time and only in my brain. But I'm throwing it out there to see if you can relate to this. So often, and I remember this especially in Afghanistan, especially the years the United States was making gains there and women had more and more rights, and there would be specials, you know, on 60 Minutes, how great it was for the women there, right? And, you know, throughout different Muslim countries that, you know, women are not treated very well at all. They're basically victims in so many of these nations. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yet it's so odd when you see so many of the women, at least in the United States, and you know, sometimes in Gaza, that are so outspoken and vicious in their rhetoric until they're held accountable. And then it turns to tears in a heartbeat. And then it's all weepy. It was like that woman that threatened to kill, you know, different people in Bakersfield, California. And all of a sudden they're like, yup, nope, that was a threat. And then she gets arrested. And then she's like, I mean it.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. Am I the only one that's
seen that?
Okay. And you always wonder, what are all of the attitudes throughout different Arab nations with women? Because usually, it seems it is not a good situation at all. Yet the women that are protesting in our country for that cause is really confusing to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you saying you want to go be a part of Hamas? Do you know what that means for you? It's not good. Whatever.
Well, it's like when the gays did it.
Excuse me?
When they were protesting against Israel.
Oh, you're right. Talking about gays for Palestine.
Gays for Palestine, yeah. I mean, dig. Go there.
Oh, my goodness. You know what would happen if you actually go there?
Yeah.
Throw.
What are we doing?
Throw a pride parade in Gaza.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Try the rainbow flag. See how that goes.
Yeah, good luck with that.
It's crazy. Saw a whole thing at Real Clear Politics, and it's a long read, okay? And even with the ADD, I made it through. But to explain it all to you in a very short amount of time, as we try to do, help, David. Fatal police shootings aren't declining, and they said here's why, and there's uncomfortable facts with it, but it's not what media would lead you to believe.
Yeah, and they all kind of feed into one another, and it's fairly self-evident. One, the number of unarmed people shot and killed by police is extraordinarily low, especially when you consider, I like the stats that they throw out there. There are about 18,000 police departments in the U.S. with a population of more than 335 million people. And you're talking about 50 and 60 million annual encounters between police and civilians.
Yes.
Goes ballpark figure, fatal, all fatal police encounters, meaning police shoot and kill somebody. You're talking about 1,000. Which is roughly
0.002%. 0.002%.
And so then it winds up getting distorted through bad reporting, through activist journalism. For example, police aren't exaggerating the lethal threats that they face. In 2023, the Washington Post database showed 83% of people killed by police bullets were armed, 62% with a gun, and another 15% with a knife. And that's held pretty steady. Usually there is actually a life or death threat when an officer decides to pull the trigger.
When I was reading that too, I thought, okay, what is the situation with the other people? Well, it could be an axe. It could be a garden tool. They're coming at him with something.
It could be a car.
Yes.
That's happened before. Somebody tries to run over a police officer. Well, that fatal shooting would be justified. And you know, to me, the other stat that gets thrown out there whenever they say, well, X amount of people unarmed were shot and killed by police. Unarmed does not necessarily mean not a threat.
Correct.
And an unjustified shooting. I mean, in fact, unjustified police shootings are incredibly low.
But here was the big part, at least from my takeaway. Media coverage distorts the circumstances of most fatal police shootings. And they go through a lot of different detail. And what I'm left with, again, is legacy media, especially enemy of the people. And I know that sounds kind of crazy to some people. I just heard Andrew Klavan say it, too. I mean, we're not the only ones, that's for sure. But there are so many people in the United States that have no idea of what is actually going on. And I know we have loons all over the place. But we all know common sense people that really don't know what's happening. And are brainwashed from getting any news from anywhere of what they've trusted their entire lives, which you can't trust anymore. And so all I know is to sort of forward these types of stories. See, this is independent journalism here. Yeah. This isn't, oh, they're far right. Okay. And at some point you want to give up, but I don't think we can really give up.
Well, they're far right when they don't agree with you.
Exactly.
And that's a label they put on everything they don't agree with, yeah.
Speaking of a lot of loons out there, a trans vampire woman sexually assaulted a teen and charged in the death of a disabled man. Saw
a
that
what?
In the New York Post.
What now?
I'll just read from the story. A transgender woman who identifies as a vampire has been convicted of sexually assaulting a developmentally disabled girl while already under investigation for allegedly strangling a man possessed by a demon. Whew. This is Adam Hetkes, 35, goes by the name Sabrina.
Yeah, okay.
Was convicted in Wisconsin last week of first-degree sexual assault by threatening the use of a dangerous weapon and second-degree assault of a mentally ill victim.
Ugh.
Already a convicted sex offender and under investigation for a homicide with charges only filed since the disturbed attacker was busted for the sexual assault.
Yeah, sharpen up those wooden stakes.
If you hadn't seen the photo.
Oh, I saw that freak. Yeah, okay. I know, I just, enough.
Yes.
No tolerance for any of these knuckleheads anymore.
This person did not get help at some point in time. Someone was not honest enough or didn't lock him up when they should have.
That kind of reminds me of if someone tried to draw Glenn Danzig from memory.
Yes. Yeah, kind of.
And then left the portrait in the wash.
Yeah, but also put eye makeup on and lipstick and a nose ring.
Mm.
Yes. Apparently this kook said, I'm a vampire, and I will bite you if you don't do what I want. That was part of the threat. Oh. Yeah.
It's going to be hard to bite when I'm going to yank all your teeth out one at a time.
Lock them up.
Gosh, yes.
And speaking of that, Joe Biden's uncle was not eaten by cannibals, if you've heard that one. That's
no,
not
yeah.
Even CNN fact-checked this?
Yeah, CNN what? Did actually. So yesterday, a couple of different times, Joe Biden said that his uncle, who was fighting in World War II, crashed on New Guinea, and they couldn't recover his body because cannibals might have gotten to him or something. Now, that's not true. His uncle did die. The plane had a malfunction. It went down in the water. One crew member survived, but Biden's uncle did not. But he was not eaten by cannibals. So that's just a very odd thing to throw in there. And the CNN fact check is President Joe Biden suggested twice that the United States was unable to recover his uncle Ambrose Finnegan's remains after Finnegan's plane crashed near New Guinea during World War II because there used to be a lot of cannibals in the region.
Okay.
And then they go through that, no, this is not true. Now, the White House Deputy Press Secretary Andrew Bates said, well, President Biden is proud of his uncle's service in uniform, who lost his life when the military aircraft he was on crashed in the Pacific after taking off near New Guinea. The president highlighted his uncle's story as he made the case for honoring our sacred commitment to equip those we send to war and take care of them and their families when they come home, as he reiterated that the last thing American veterans are is suckers and losers. Yeah, okay. Try to turn it around.
Okay, going back to that. Yes. Saying, well, he's proud of his uncle. Of course he is, but he wasn't eaten by people.
The White House did not provide additional details around Biden's claim that cannibals prevented the recovery of Finnegan's.
Oh, mess boy. With the men in America unless you want to get the benefit.
Yeah, whatever that means to. Yeah. All right, our no BS election update and much more straight ahead right here.
I'm on the list. I'm not going to take your time. You know.
Hey there, you and aisle two. I see you by the fiber and laxatives. You still using those to manage your constipation with belly pain? If your symptoms keep coming back, you may have irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. So you may need more than over-the-counter treatments to manage it. Ask your doctor about how Linzess can help you get ahead of it.
Linzess linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
BlueStar Medicated Ointment gets 5-star reviews from our loyal users for fast relief of the pain and itch of almost any skin irritation.
BlueStar soothes insect bites and fungal infections.
It really works on the summer rashes I get every year.
I had psoriasis on my elbows. BlueStar worked wonders.
Amazing stuff. Smear a bit on and the itch is gone.
Look for the white box with the BlueStar in the first aid section. Feel BlueStar work fast or your money back.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
The Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Time for our update. Here we go.
It's the Markley Van Camp and Robbins 2024.
Are you running? Are you not running?
No BS update. Everything you need to know without all the crap.
I'm allowed to do an research.
Right. Okay. The election update today, I don't know what you guys might have. I saw something interesting from unheard.com from James Billett. He was just talking about Trump going to Pennsylvania. You got to do that on weekends because of the trial, you know.
Yeah,
he was there
right.
Last weekend. But in this, he's talking to just some regular people, one being John, who has PTSD. He's 78 years old, Vietnam War vet. The PTSD, by the way, stands for Pretty Tired of Stupid Democrats.
Well, that's funny.
I hadn't heard that one before.
I hadn't either, but okay, I'm good with it.
Anyway, he talks just about that Trump, in his opinion, had been the best president of his lifetime. And they talked to this woman that's been in and out of prison. She's 56 years old. Changed her name for the story. Said she liked Trump because he laid down the law. She said, look, I've had my issues, but I've always respected the police. During the BLM era, the police were treated like dirt, and that appalled me. Trump was the only one trying to bring back some respect for our men in blue. And then she introduced the writer to her fiancé, who works in roofing. He used to run his own business, but said he was undercut by cheaper and illegal labor. Said during Obama's presidency, I had a pretty good business, but during the second term, I could see all this cheap work coming through. It was hurting my bottom line. Everyone kept telling me to just use the workers from Mexico and save on costs, but I didn't think it was fair to my American workers, and I couldn't afford it. So he started working for somebody else. And on it goes with just these regular people. And all I was thinking was, it's who the legacy media people never want to talk to. It seems they never go out
and
see
real
people's stories.
There.
I don't think this writer did either. But that's what you're supposed to do, isn't it, as a news guy, David?
Well, but also those are the people that the left, the media, the Democrats have been out there saying everything's fine for you.
Right. This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin show. You're right about that. Okay, biggest story of the day.
I don't know if it's the biggest story of the day, but this just crossed my desk. There was a massive walkout at a middle school in Utah because they were tired of the school letting the furries go and lick people. Furries are people who dress up like animals. And apparently there was a furry problem at this middle school, so about 70 to 75 students said, to hell with it, we're protesting this, and they walked out. They're like, we're tired of the furries, all right?
I got hairy legs.
And we have a news report.
Wow.
Oh, I can't wait for that. We'll get to that next. No doubt about it. The furries. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Got a Gen Xer, a millennial, and a sexy boomer. And we're going to get to a story about furries in a second. But there's an update on the Trump trial?
Yeah, so two jurors have been excused that had been seated previously. One of them was a woman who feared that she could no longer be impartial, in part because media reports were very specific about who she was. And so her phone was blowing up, apparently. She had friends and family saying, oh, my gosh, you're on the jury because the Washington Post told me where you worked, and you fit that description. And she's like, never mind, I'm tapping out. And so the judge said, okay. And then there was another juror where they did a little bit more digging and found out that he actually did have an arrest on his record. The arrest, so happens, is related to him tearing down the sign of a campaign for a conservative candidate. Also, his wife had a deferred prosecution agreement with the district attorney's office involving a corruption inquiry. So this dude was lying to try to get on the jury.
Right. Yeah. He was taking Stephen Colbert's advice.
Well, yeah.
Okay. So keeping you up to date on that, and then you just saw this story out of Utah, which is really bizarre, it seems.
Yeah, so Payson, Utah, there's a place called Mount Nebo Middle School. And yesterday there was a protest where 70-some-odd kids walked out because they're tired of the furries in their school. Furries, if you're not familiar, are people who like to dress up like animals with human qualities. Furry conventions exist, and this is where a bunch of these weirdos get together, and they pet each other, they purr, they do all sorts of things. They act like animals around one another.
Do you think there are towns that are vying for this to come to their community because of the economic impact?
It's possible, dude.
Oh, it's possible.
A lot of furries, I have it on good authority, have saved up the milk money that their moms give them every morning, so yeah.
You had a clip one time, David, of Jesse Waters interviewing a furry. I don't know if you want to revisit that. I don't even remember it. We play so many clips on this show.
Furries are just so upset. I mean, the whole thing is...
All right, we got to hear this.
Of course
thing.
We do.
All right.
All right, David, how old are you?
I'm 32.
And what are you supposed to be dressed up as here?
Well, currently, I'm a raccoon.
And why are you dressed up as a raccoon?
Well, isn't it fun?
So why do you want kids around people dressed up as squirrels getting spanked?
Me personally, I don't. I think that it's definitely an adult only environment for that. The furry conventions themselves don't have anything to do with that, though. The furry conventions themselves are really about community and bringing people together. You know, a lot of us, we're not so socially, it's a little bit tough.
Okay. You know,
it's easy to make fun of furries. Yeah. Well, we're misunderstood as a group.
Okay, so you're already
nut. Well,
challenged
yeah,
in some sort
of
way.
Of course it's easy to make fun of you. If you're and, around people that are dressed like squirrels, I mean, yeah, that's and, easy.
And it's very easy to vilify us.
Okay. Do you blame yourself at all for being misunderstood? I mean, you're the one dressed up as a raccoon.
Oh, absolutely. I think that this is absolutely crazy and weird and fun. And that's the point. I think, you know, it's supposed all to right. gain attention.
Okay. I don't. We even want to try to choose my words carefully. I'll just say it, and you tell me if it's right or wrong, David. This is like dorky people that would have a hard time finding a mate. This is some way you dress up and you find other odd people.
Yeah, I think. Well, there. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things going on with these people.
I mean, if it's a woman and she already has a lot of options for dates, or a dude with a lot of options, like, you know. He's okay in the dating department. I don't think they end up as furries. Am I wrong here?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
So now...
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
So we go...
I mean, mentally ill people are not only accepted, but we're told we have to accept them now into society. So, I mean, this guy's a lunatic. He'd be locked up any other time.
I have no idea.
Looking like a raccoon.
I have no idea what part we're talking here of some sexual fetish or mental illness.
It's a fetish in both, yes.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead, David.
So in Utah, again, middle school, 70-some-odd kids had a walkout yesterday because they say that the furries are causing problems. They're, like, rubbing up against people. They're licking people. They're biting people.
Okay, so you have middle schoolers that are already identifying as Furbies.
Yes.
Or they're dressing up?
Yes.
How are they allowed to dress up?
All right, well, that's what is at issue here. And I'll play the report from ABC4.
All right, Brian. Well, the term furry, it refers to someone interested in animals with human qualities. Now, they dress up like this as a cartoon version of an animal. Now, we've learned there have been reports at Nebo Middle School that students are getting mistreated over this topic.
There was some kids dressed up as animals, and I heard that another kid got bit by one of them.
Nearly 75 students and parents showed up facing the school, saying they're unhappy with how administration is handling reports of harassment. Parents say there's an issue between some students and others who call themselves furries.
But it's ridiculous when kids are dressing like animals and licking and biting people. I just don't think that's okay.
This is Strudel, a member of the furry fandom. Though they've been a furry for over a decade, they have their own opinions.
It's crazy that it's escalated to this point where these kids are being so distracting to their peers that their peers want to stage a walkout or to have, you know, the next generation kind of muddy our name and not represent it very well. It is kind of disappointing.
Yeah. See, that lady, or they, them, I guess, Strudel is saying, hey, you're giving us furries a bad name here, kids. You little bastards.
So, I got to make sure that I understand this right. There are the kids that are allowed to dress as the animals?
Yeah.
In school? Why?
Apparently.
There's a dress code.
Yeah.
You don't dress up like a beaver. You don't dress up like a raccoon or whatever animal that you choose. It's not dress-up day every day.
No.
What are we talking about?
Now
and, of course, I mean, middle school sucks for everybody anyway.
Yeah.
And kids are going to get made fun of for whatever it is.
Yeah.
You put them in an animal costume, you're begging for it.
I just had a friend of mine text me, said, make him eat cat food for lunch. That'll stop it.
Yes. Good idea.
Have some Alpo. Come over here, big boy. Your nose in that bowl now.
Well... the school is saying that they don't have a furry infestation, that this was an internet rumor that got out of control. But there's like video, and they're saying, well, that's not from our school. But a lot of people seem to think that they've encountered a rogue extremist furry.
Okay. So the complaint, though, is you get people, kids biting one another and licking.
Yeah.
Okay. But we're to understand they're not dressed up. It's very confusing.
Yeah. So
and the furry experts saying, hey, we don't like this. Leave the furries alone. How about do the furry thing in your own time?
Yeah. Which is Strudel's point, by the way, in defense of Strudel. Okay.
Oh, dear goodness.
This is an elder furry, and Strudel is saying that you've got to chill. You can't do things like that because you're going to ruin it for the rest of us. Strudel is one of the moderates among the furries and doesn't like it. But yeah, the school is saying that there's been something that happened with harassment, but they're saying, well, the kids aren't dressing up like animals. But a lot of people at the school seem to think that they've encountered rogue furries wandering the halls. So I don't know what to believe right now.
You know, and then Joe Biden will concoct some kind of story about he's riding with his dad and he sees a guy dressed as a squirrel.
And that squirrel got eaten by a cannibal in New
right,
Guinea.
Exactly.
Yes. While holding his nuts. Yes.
The whole world gone crazy!
Right. Okay.
Good go.
All right. Speaking of Biden... he made it clear that Israel should not invade where?
Israel.
I'm trying to understand this one. What?
Yeah. Israel should not invade Israel. Joe Biden was talking about the war against Hamas and how he's urging Israel to use restraint as they hunt down the terrorist organization.
Oh my gosh. I'm still trying to get past the furry thing.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's insane.
Stop.
All right, roll it.
And I made it clear to Israelis, don't move on Haifa. It's just not, I mean...
What?
Anyway, I just... Look what we did recently.
Yeah, Haifa is in Israel.
In
you meant
Israel.
To say Rafa.
Yeah. Don't invade your own country.
Yeah, for
Don't
me...
Don't invade yourself.
I think it's probably good to not bomb yourself.
I would agree with that.
Finally, some good advice to Israel. They wouldn't have known that themselves. Did you notice the other thing there? Anyway, yeah, he almost yeah. gave up again, I believe.
It's just not, I mean, anyway, I just...
Yeah. How many times are we going to hear that? Man, oh, man.
It holds near and dear to you that you like to be able to... Anyway.
Yeah.
Defeated.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And what am I doing here?
Right.
I'm going to lose track here.
Yeah, I'm going to lose track.
Yeah.
That's, really?
That's a stutter, by the way.
It's not. Every time we play a clip from 15 years ago, sometimes it's even 5 years ago, and people will say, holy smokes, he sounds so much more coherent. It's kind of crazy.
Really funny, making fun of a geriatric with stutter problem. Really funny.
I don't think he ever had a stutter.
I know that's your theory, and I'll tell you, there may be something to that.
Well, the time he brought it up was when he had been caught with those plagiarism allegations in the late 80s. That's one of the earliest times he ever started throwing that out there as a means of self-defense, that he overcame a stutter, and he knew he'd overcome it when he spoke at his graduation, except he didn't speak at his graduation in high school. I think he made it up.
Yeah, that's
Have they ever talked
crazy,
to anybody that's known him?
I know.
At that time? Because usually when you're talking about someone that overcomes a stutter, and it's like a news piece on it, they will talk to friends that have been around that person for a while and say, yeah, it was a real struggle for this person for this long of a time. But it's not like, you know, Joe's brother, James, has ever come out and said, man, we all felt bad for Joey. So bad because he struggled with that stutter. No, you've never heard that. The guy ran for president before. You never heard anything about that. You know, this guy overcame this thing. Now, who knows?
You know, the graduation thing is interesting.
Edgecombe County.
He can't see the teleprompter, and then he gets lost. I mean, that's a good part of it.
$1.7 trillion off the sidelines in investment.
Right. Of course. All right. By the way, Another story out there. What about a medical story? Ozempic. A lot of people swear by it, have used it. It's been effective, lost weight. But then you hear some horror stories. And one is, now I hadn't heard before, it's changing people's personalities.
What?
Yes. Yeah. There were a few things. And then I'm reading this story, and then I go down a rabbit hole for a bit. I had never heard of Ozempic finger before, and I had not heard of Ozempic butt before. Yes, we can get to it all in a news update straight ahead.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
It's no secret, when you spend less money on running your business, you get to keep more money. It's simple math.
And that can be a tall order right now because everything is so expensive. That's why smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle.
Reduce costs and headaches with the number one cloud financial system.
NetSuite brings accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, all into one platform and one source of truth.
You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite.
With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required.
You improve efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors.
Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so you do the math, see how you'll profit with NetSuite.
By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/MVR.
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 If spring allergies keep you trapped inside, then you need Navage Nasal Care to keep you breathing clearly and enjoying all the beauties of spring. Navage helps clear nasal passages that are often clogged because of seasonal allergies. Navage gently flushes a pure, refreshing saline solution through your nasal passages to clear out congestion, sucking out that springtime pollen and other irritants trapped in your nose. Navage is available online at Navage.com or in stores at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, and Target. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show. I mentioned it before, you spend less money on running your business, you get to keep more money. It's just simple math.
Yeah, and that's hard to do right now, though, because, well, everything is so expensive. That's why smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle.
Yeah, reduce costs and headaches with the number one cloud financial system.
NetSuite brings accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, all into one platform and one source of truth.
You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite.
Yeah, with NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud. No hardware required.
You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, which slashes manual tasks and errors.
And again, the math is pretty simple. See how you'll profit with NetSuite.
Yeah, backed by popular demand, too. NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Just head to netsuite.com/MVR.
That's netsuite.com/MVR. All right, David, you want me to get to this Ozempic story, or have something else breaking?
No, okay. I'm curious.
I saw it in the New York Post. Said the use appears to be changing people's personalities. And so they talked to some experts, and they think they know why. Part of this has caused anxiety, depression, and suicidal ideation for some people.
Oh, my.
And as they get into the story, they're talking about how it has an effect on dopamine levels, responsible for a range of functions. So along with impacting the emotional and physical drive for food, the brain chemical impacts feelings of reward, pleasure, motivation, and movement. And so for some people, you know, you don't have the craving to eat as much. You still have an appetite, but it's dampened a bit. And for some people, it happens with their sex drive. It could happen with how much alcohol you want. Some people that maybe thought they drank too much say they don't desire that as much, which could be a good thing. But then it's the other stuff that seems to get a little scarier. The people's personalities seem to be changed and more dark thoughts. And again, I don't think that's like most people that take this. It's just a side effect for some. But was it the FDA said it received 606 reports of psychiatric disorders connected to Ozempic, which is more than some of the other stuff people use as far as weight loss. But Ozempic, which is the only FDA approved to treat diabetes, does not come with the warning that the other ones do about the dopamine levels and that sort of thing. But the lead study author said, you know, sometimes people also have these expectations. You're going to lose the weight. Everything's going to be great in your life. Mm-hmm. Just because you lose weight doesn't mean everything else is just going to fall in line. Yeah. It could leave you depressed, that sort of thing.
I was going to say, you know, when your hotness goes from a 4 to a 6, you realize, man, I really settled for that 3, didn't I?
Well, then there's the Ozempic butt and Ozempic finger, which I hadn't heard before.
I think they're using it wrong.
No, with the butt, it goes away. Like, there was one woman that had a Brazilian butt lift a couple of years ago, and she says it's flat as a pancake now.
Yeah.
Because she lost the weight and everything just sags.
Looks like a table now. Put a drink on it.
Well, for the finger, you got to get a new ring because everything's thinned out. Your wrist.
Oh, my.
Or the Ozempic face where everything sags, and apparently that can happen to your butt, too.
Dang.
You got no booty. This is the Markley Van Camp and Robin Show.
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Okay, news update, David Van Camp.
Well, I thought this was pretty interesting. The whistleblower, Real Clear Investigations has this story out, that the whistleblower who sparked Trump's first impeachment may have had a connection to Joe Biden's, you know, attempt to smooth things over for his boy Hunter in Ukraine.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I always forget how to pronounce this guy's last name, Eric Chermella. He's the first guy who said Trump was withholding military aid to Ukraine unless Ukraine dug into Joe Biden and Hunter's business dealings there. So Real Clear's lengthy article says this whistleblower was actually instrumental in helping manage the fallout when Joe Biden initially started working with Ukraine, because that was around the same time that, well, it just so happens Hunter got a job on the board of a corrupt energy company, Burisma.
Yeah.
This guy was a close advisor to Biden when Biden threatened to cut off U.S. aid to Ukraine unless it fired its top prosecutor, who was investigating Burisma.
And now, son of a beep, he was fired.
When Biden announced or told his team he was going to threaten to withhold this aid to Ukraine, the whistleblower at the time actually wrote in an email, "Yikes. At Biden's move to withhold $1 billion in aid unless they fired the prosecutor," because that was a very sudden change in policy. Everybody who was with the State Department, everybody working on this said, well, we don't really, that shouldn't be part of the deal.
Well, you know? And I've also read, and okay, I don't know how to verify it, that they were trying to root out corruption in Ukraine for so long, and this, by firing the prosecutor, was getting in the way of that. They didn't want it to happen. Other people within the State Department at the time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's why it was such a surprise when Joe Biden made the decision to do that, because they're like, well, wait a minute. I mean, sure, this guy, Viktor Shokin, he's corrupt, but we also don't want to upset the apple cart too much in that country if we're trying to help them root out corruption in a notoriously corrupt country. He was also told to ask Ukrainian representatives what high-level cases were on the docket for this prosecutor, which suggests that they wanted to know if he was going after Hunter Biden or anyone else associated with Burisma. It was a fishing expedition. That's what it looks like. And this guy was held up as the whistleblower. Well, he anonymously, you know, blew the whistle, and when people found out his name at that time, if you mm-hmm. posted his name on Twitter, your account suspended. You can't.
That's how they do it.
Yeah, wow. you can't mention the guy's name.
Right.
And all of that led to Trump's impeachment when, if they had known that this was the guy who was the whistleblower, there's a clear conflict of interest.
Of course.
And
I mean, you think about it, man, not to go off on a tangent, but the Michael Schellenbergers, Matt Taibbis, Barry Weisses of the world, 5 years ago, would anyone have said, well, they're right wingers?
No.
Not even close.
No.
They all report the same things. Like, yes, people were silenced. And there is a deep state that censors people all the time to not let the truth get out. It's like enemy of the truth. So I'm not surprised. But it is one of those where you have more evidence of it. There is this sort of wow factor. Like, yeah, it ran deep. But again, news won't report it. As a matter of fact, you know when we do the different bets on the show? I forgot. We checked it out the other day. Remember the bet of the Bob Alinsky testimony in front of Congress?
Mm-hmm.
Would it be covered the next day? Legacy Media. It wasn't. You lost that bet, David. Sorry.
I did lose that. Yeah.
They didn't even cover it. It's insane talking about the sitting president and how he's lied. I mean, it's obvious when you follow this how corrupt it is. Man. And they have, it's not like, well, we can't remember. We don't know how this whole thing went down with Biden and this prosecutor in Ukraine and all of that.
Prosecutor's not fired. You're not getting the money. Oh, son of a bitch. Got fired.
It's all there. They won't do it. It's insane. Something else along the same lines is a totally different story, though. This was in the Federalist talking about how, of course, Americans deserve a presidential debate. But there's more than a decent chance the Democrats won't give it to them. They will not let Biden debate Trump.
Oh, they're already doing it. I mean, they say, well, we don't want to give Trump any sort of audience or platform.
What are you talking about?
No, I know, but that's...
They talk about Trump every single day.
They've been talking about this for a long time. Like, we're not going to allow him to have a platform that he doesn't deserve.
They play clips of him every day. It's because in a debate they can't control what actually goes over the air.
Well... And they know they've got a shell of a man.
Oh, my gosh,
I mean,
yes.
Come on. They know that.
He's not capable of
doing
it. I
mean, really, from a political standpoint, I don't blame him. I wouldn't either.
Oh, but no. If
I understand.
No, if I'm playing on their team, I'm like, no, we're not doing this.
But if you're an independent, you certainly see it for what it is, right? Like, they can't put him out there. I mean, what was the last stats? It's close to 80% of the country don't think he can cognitively run it right now. How could they believe that he could go out and debate somebody?
No.
That's how crazy this is right now.
I guess we're not going to find out, huh?
According to this piece, there's a good chance we won't. And it'll be interesting then, because a lot of the people that just don't pay attention to news that much that still may vote, I think when people actually find out, wait a second, that guy is not going to debate? What do you mean? He's running for president. He has to debate, doesn't he? No, he can't.
How do you? I could not listen.
It won't happen.
Time, you know.
We'll see. Yeah. Was there another story you wanted to get to? I got this Trevor Bauer story too. It's a couple days old.
Well, it's
or at least a day old.
Well, it's the one I mentioned before coming on the air is an uplifting story. So let's do Trevor Bauer first.
Okay, so Trevor Bauer, if you're not familiar, Major League Baseball pitcher, one Cy Young winner. Hasn't been on a Major League Baseball team, 3 years?
Yeah.
Suspended because of sexual assault allegations. Okay. But it's been proven, at least so far in court, didn't happen. The woman was trying to set him up.
Right. I mean, he did some wild stuff. I mean,
yes,
no question about that.
Yes, no doubt about it.
But it was all consensual.
Yes. And this one woman was trying to trap him. Now there's another woman that had accused him, because I think there were like four accusers and they've all fallen one by one, is now charged with extorting him. She's been charged.
And she lied about being pregnant. Was that it?
I know. I don't remember that one.
Yeah, I think there was no.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There was one of them. I'm not sure this is the one.
Somebody's floating around. Yeah, yeah.
And so the one thing that's been kind of wild, if you've ever seen his YouTube channel, he updates on this stuff. As soon as his lawyer said, okay, I guess you can talk about this. So he went out there. It was like 5 minutes about this latest one because no teams will hire him. They won't even talk, which is kind of odd. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, well, it could be a clubhouse issue. We, you know, it'd be a lot for the PR, whatever. But in this latest, see, that's part of what he said.
It's been 2 years since these women and their lawyers attempted to weaponize anonymous claims in the media against me to take my money. I addressed them at the time, and as far as I'm concerned, it's in the past. But if there comes a time in the future where I need to defend myself further, I will not hesitate to do so. For now, there's no reason to speak further on this topic, though, because outside of Adonna, who's now been indicted with felony fraud, there are no claims against me, no ongoing investigations, and no outstanding lawsuits. At this point, I'm not sure what else I can possibly do to prove my innocence in all this. I did not do what I was accused of. And every institution that our society is entrusted to rule on issues like these, like courts, judges, law enforcement officers, prosecutors, they all agree with me. They've rejected every single claim made against me, even going as far as charging one of my accusers with a felony. If any evidence of any of these claims actually existed, I would have been charged, or at the very least arrested. But that never happened. What else do I have to do to prove that this entire situation has been a massive lie? This is insane. At what point do I get to go back to work and continue earning a living?
I'd say you're guilty of being stupid.
Yeah, the anonymous thing, you know, or not knowing who these people even were. Yeah. You know, yeah, I mean, you can, you know, you can throw the moral flag on that, I suppose. But
well, I think there are a lot of colleges that tell young athletes, okay, watch out for A, B, and C.
Oh, yeah.
Watch who you hang with. You know, some woman, it could be a multiple set of issues you could be getting yourself into. Mm-hmm. So just word of warning before you go out there and think, woo, gonna party like a rock star. Watch out. It could be a trap.
Yeah, but what consenting adults do in this country, I mean, is nobody's business.
I mean,
until something like this happens.
Major League Baseball and every owner in America should be ashamed of themselves. Not just for the Trevor Bauer situation, but because, you know, they hate America, but
you're right about the Bauer thing, though. I mean, everybody in Major League Baseball needs pitching. Everybody.
Yes.
Everybody. This guy has proven himself time and time again to be a top-of-the-rotation type pitcher.
I'm not going to tell you he's a great guy. I'll tell you YouTube channel is highly entertaining, and that was before he got in all this, you know, sort of stuff.
But he was always a, you know,
but
wild card.
But he mocked Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and can't do that.
With cheating and foreign substance on the baseball, he mocked them, I wonder, to a degree where the word got out. Yeah, he's done.
They were looking for hammer on him somehow.
You wonder. All right, what's the good news story, David?
Well, the good news story is former college basketball star Caitlin Clark is going to the WNBA. She's going to be playing for the Indiana Fever. And already, as of right now, two teams have announced they're moving from their normal arena to a larger capacity facility in order to accommodate the fans that want to go see her play. So the Las Vegas Aces, they're relocating their game against the Fever, moving to the T-Mobile Arena. So they go from a 12,000-seat arena to an 18,000-seat arena. And the Washington Mystics have announced they are moving from their 4,200-seat venue to the Capital One Arena, 20,000.
Oh, wow.
Young girls across the country want to go see her play. She's like a hero. She's got number one uniform sales. And I wonder if it's partly because, I've sort of mentioned this before, with Steph Curry being shorter as for the average basketball player, with the three-point barrage, there were all these kids across America that say, okay, I'm not probably never going to be like Steph Curry, but I could learn to shoot like that maybe. I mean, I'm not going to be big and I'm not, you know, going to be windmill dunking, stuff like that, but you could shoot. And it gave a lot of people some sort of hope, like, hey, I could kind of see myself in that. Sure, it might be delusional, but you get what I mean. I wonder if it's the same sort of thing. All these young girls are like, well, maybe I could do that.
Well, I think, too, it's like there's a bunch of men, too, who are interested in her.
Oh, yeah.
That have not given a flip about the WNBA. Ever.
I would agree.
But now, with Caitlin Clark's on, I'm going to watch it. mean, well, I watched more women's basketball this year than I have in my entire life collectively.
Yeah. Well, I mean, dude, when you step back threes from like 25 feet, you're like, wow.
Yeah.
It's impressive. That is a cool story. All right. Did you see what videos racked up 60 million views this week? It's funny. We'll talk about that in a second. And a new scandal in sports gambling. Did you hear about this? Get to that as well, straight ahead.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
All right. The Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. You know, stuff we see in Canada seems to get to the United States anywhere between 3 and 5 years later, seems like.
Yeah.
A mayor is actually saying it's liberating to not own things in Canada?
Yeah, they're rapidly descending into communism in Canada. The mayor, to the point where even Bill Maher, liberal talk show host on last Friday's show, actually warned about, like, Canada is sort of a cautionary tale right now.
Yeah.
The mayor of Calgary actually provided a good example of this. See, many people think that investing in a home is a good thing, right? You build wealth. It's an investment, right? Plus, you own it. It's yours. But no, that's wrong.
Take better care of it.
Says the mayor of Calgary, Jody Gondek.
All right, Jody.
So we're starting to see a segment of the population reject this idea of owning a home, and they're moving towards rental because it gives them more freedom. They can travel to different places. They can try out different communities. Their job may take them from place to place. And so people have become much more liberated around what housing looks like.
Yeah. Abandon.
You own nothing and like it.
You will like it.
Abandon any sense of community. Have nothing to show for all the rent payments you made. I get it. You know, if you're young, owning a home may not be great. If you're young and you may be moving, an apartment life is great. But at a certain point, like, you kind of have to make some level of investment, or a lot of people would rather do that.
But you don't want to do that. You don't want to own anything. You don't want to own a car either.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
it's all about community. It's all about communism. That's where they want to go, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Golly.
I saw some different people going off on social media about that whole sort of lifestyle. And we can get into that some other time, but it was this sense of, you want to be able to go around and do things. The commentary was basically, and for those people that then end up in their 40s and beyond, single or without children, and then in this empty, vast space. And that's not true for everybody. But, man, you're seeing it more and more of people that are bitter because they feel like they made wrong choices in their 20s and 30s. Just a commentary. Thought there was something to it. Maybe you saw this story. Dude, NBA player banned for life. He was gambling on the sport.
Oh, boy.
Games he was in.
Yeah.
Jonte Porter, Toronto Raptors. Permanent exile for disclosing confidential information to sports bettors, limiting his own participation in one or more games for betting purposes, and betting on NBA games.
Dang.
Yes. According to the league's investigation, Porter, a little-known, seldom-used player, made sure that, claiming he felt ill and removing himself from the game. Because if he was projected to score X amount of points, all of a sudden, I'm not feeling very good. Whew. I'm going to have to sit this one out, coach. Well, you pretty much solidified it yet. That's going to be the under on that one.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Wow. And for a lot of people that have written about it, like, this is not surprising because this is just the kind of guy that would be targeted. Not making tons of money, but can, because he can influence, you know, a wager. Part of it.
Dang.
Oh, and the gambling addiction is through the roof, especially with late teens, early 20s, which is also not a surprise.
Well, it's easy to do.
Right now, yes. This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show. All right, biggest story today, David?
Biggest story of the day. You had a couple of jurors dismissed from the Trump trial as jury selection is still underway. One of them was because, well, she didn't feel comfortable anymore because the media gave out a lot of her personal information. And the guarantee of anonymity probably is not possible. Another one got dismissed because, well, he lied about an arrest after tearing down a conservative candidate's campaign poster.
Right. He wasn't a big Trump fan either. It kind of came out.
Yeah.
All right. So updates on that. Oh, there's the video I got to tell you about. Oh, and at Columbia, some arrests are being made now and they're yelling, good, we're all Hamas. Straight ahead. Van Camp and Robin Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. So there's some arrests going down at Columbia University today in New York. Apparently they've had enough.
Well, you see Ilhan Omar's daughter was suspended.
Yeah, I saw that.
I did not see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the apple don't fall far from the tree.
What for?
For her part in the protests that are getting out of hand.
Yeah, the pro-Hamas protest. She's big into that.
But it is pro-Hamas. I mean,
well, yeah.
They're actually saying we are Hamas.
Yeah.
That whole bit.
We are Hamas!
You're Hamas. Wow. That's a good one. You're what? You're Hamas?
Yes, hey. We're all Hamas, hey?
You're playing in that thing? I even have a picture of that person. If I know it's, you know, you can't see it, but I'll have you guys describe it. She's saying, pig, long live Hamas. There you go.
Oh, well, she's got the face covering on.
Yeah. Yes. I wonder why.
Yeah. I think she'd be proud. People would people to know who she is. Yeah.
You would think so.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they had the whole thing going overnight. They stayed outside all night long for the Gaza Solidarity Encampment. That's what they called it. They stayed outside all night. Yeah. It is comedy. They don't understand how funny they really are.
Well, that's the thing that makes me laugh. As frustrating as it is, especially for, I get it, for Jewish students on campuses that where this
kind of
stuff is happening, I get it. It's not a laughing matter because you know, there are some truly vile things being hurled at them.
Yeah.
So I understand that. But just from, you know, from my perch, I find it funny because these most of these idiots are just idiots. They're harmless. but they see themselves as so important, and it's hilarious.
And a lot of trust fund kids.
Yes.
Like, this is their moment to stand up against injustice.
Yeah, whenever I see these, like, silver spoon weirdos out there talking about from the river to the sea and long live Hamas and all of this, I'm just like, you are a walking, talking advertisement in favor of bullying because you were not bullied enough. You were coddled too much.
You know, and I suppose if you said, well, what about your empathetic side, man? I could say, all right, like, I showed you this picture. There's a dude behind the lady with the, you know, hanky on her face.
Yeah.
This other dude. I'm like, okay, there's a guy that can't get any, if you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. He's not attracting women, so he thinks if I go and I do this with these other women at this school that maybe there's a chance.
Yeah.
I might be able to, you know, get close to a woman. Mm-hmm. I have empathy for that. You're just going about it the wrong way.
Well, yeah, go to the gym and develop a personality.
Right. Learn how to talk to females. You don't have to be a complete left-wing nut. Oh, my gosh.
Also, man, I'm sorry.
Say it all the way around.
When I see the people at the protest, I can smell them.
Yeah.
Through the picture.
Mm.
I'm glad I don't have that.
But as my wife says, I don't have a very good sniffer. Probably a good thing. One other thing before we get to the trifecta, and this has to do with you, Robbins. I thought of you right away. With cats, you are a cat person. David, you're a cat person. It's not that I hate cats. I'm just not a cat person. I've had a cat, well, my parents did, that I liked. But yeah, some cats are annoying, whatever.
Yeah.
But when I see the cat fails on videos, I can't help it. It's hilarious. And you always look at me like I'm mean or something. Like, it's not funny. Like, the cat wasn't injured. It got spooked and jumped and then, you know, landed against a wall. He ran away. He's fine.
Poor cat.
What happened to you? But poor cat. It's
well,
just funny.
Well, I got my cats. You know, I love my guys.
Yeah, I know you do. It's kind of strange in a way.
No, it's not.
No, just the way you talk about it.
Oh, well.
Did you see the video that's racked up millions of views of this cat that all of a sudden something spooks him? He's on the ground. He jumps up to the top of just this chair at like a kitchen table. And then from the top of the chair, I don't know that I've ever seen a cat fly like this. And I guess it is going all over online. Like, I think we have audio of it, but it has, yeah. Okay.
All right.
But it has some cussing.
David?
Hand I got button. It.
Okay.
Do you want to hear what it's, I mean, you don't get it.
Is
it's usually a visual.
The cat cussing or the owner cussing?
No, the guy, okay. All of a sudden, he doesn't know what happened, and he sees the cat flying through the air, and he just says, what the bleep?
Oh, okay.
But anyway.
Okay, here we go.
What the just happened.
I've never seen him get air like that in my life. My cat has wings.
Oh, they got springs, man. They can get up there.
Yeah. Give that to Andres. Maybe you can throw it out there. You'll want to see it.
Yeah, I'm sure I do now.
But that makes me want to watch like 9 minutes of cat fails. I can't help. It's funny. Why do you look at me like I'm a bad person? I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
Hit up Robbins online. Let him know. You ready for your big three?
Yeah, you need a cat.
I don't need a cat at all. Let's talk about the smell.
Are
you
ready?
Golly.
It's the three most important news stories of the day.
I hit the trifecta.
Well, at least according to Scott Robbins. It's the trifecta on the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins show.
Your cats smell, dude. I'm sorry.
My cats don't smell.
You got fur on your microphone. That's cat fur. All right, trifecta. Scott Robbins, top three of the day, helped by his hero.
I'm Casey Kasem. Yeah, I don't care. Whatever.
I did just see the video, and it is actually very funny.
Well, I'm sure it's funny. I'll watch it.
Man.
Hey. I've never seen one quite like that. Yeah, that's pretty wild. That is a lot of fur on that microphone, though.
I'm ready.
Oh, Casey's ready.
Well, I don't take it home.
What's that?
Maybe it's coming off my tongue.
Three.
Number three, Scotland pausing puberty blockers for teens.
Yeah, remember the cast review? We talked about that when it came out. The pediatric transgender care in the UK.
Oh, yeah.
It was released a little earlier this month. The gist of the report was a criticism of the current approach to gender-affirming care, rather than rush teens into puberty blockers and hormones. The review made a very strong suggestion therapists should take a more holistic approach and hold off on these life-changing drugs for kids. So in keeping with those findings, England and Wales put a stop to the prescription of puberty blockers.
Good.
And they looked kind of at their neighbors in Scotland, one of them, the National Health Service there, and they're like, we don't know. We're okay with it still. Well, it's been a month now, and they've reviewed it again and decided we're gonna reverse this too. So not until you're 18 years old now in Scotland are you going to be able to have affirming hormones given to you.
By the way, on that topic,
yes.
Did you see J.K. Rowling on social media going after different people that are trying to backtrack to say, well, we always said we should have a debate.
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
Yes.
This wasn't open for discussion or debate ever.
And she brought the receipts.
Yeah.
The Daily Wire had the whole story saying one of the gender ideologue's favorite slogans is no debate. Opponents have attacked, vilified, subject to discipline at work, had their lives overturned and lost their careers. All for the crime of wanting a debate. And it's like one after another after another. Like Sue Evans, a nurse who worked at the Tavistock and was extremely worried that children were being harmed, tried to raise the alarm. She took concerns to management, but was alienated and subsequently left for the sake of her own mental health.
Yep.
James Esses, who was doing a master's degree in psychotherapy, was expelled from his course for speaking out about the impact of gender ideology on child safeguarding. And she goes into someone in Canada, and on and on and on. All these people tried, and you buried them. And now you're saying we always wanted to debate? Up yours.
Yeah, no, you didn't. And I got receipts of my own coming into this show.
Sure.
Kids are going to kill themselves at a record level because of the things you say, blah, blah.
Oh, that's
stuff you hear all the time.
Of course,
right?
Yeah. Yes.
Now, on with the countdown.
Scott Robbins, trifecta, top three of the day, up to number
2.
You want to talk about non-citizens in Michigan getting voter registration forms?
Yeah, no doubt this is not just limited to Michigan either. But documents provided to the Federalist show the form Alani received was sent by something called the Voter Participation Center, which is a left-wing nonprofit group seeking to register Democrat-favorable demographics to vote. On the mailing envelope, the group lists its return address, that of Lansing's Charles E. Chamberlain Federal Building and U.S. Post Office, which houses tenants such as the Federal Highway Administration. Alani said, I never engaged with any of these people. I don't even know how I got this thing.
Yeah, this is Muhammad Sadi Kudaher, Kudher Alani.
Alani,
who got
yes.
this. He's a refugee from Iraq.
And he's like, I don't know how this happened.
Yeah.
But I got it. And I know a bunch of other people are getting him, too. The Voter Participation Center is far from the obscure nonprofit, though. It's the central component of a well-funded election machine that aims to get a bunch of Democrats a ballot advantage over the Republicans on Election Day. So this is happening at a remarkable level in Michigan, and I'm not naive enough to think it's only happening there. But this is something we've talked about forever. What's the reasoning for allowing just whomever to come into this country?
I know.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, well, this is a activist organization that, like many other organizations, just sends out forms that you can then fill out to get registered
voter
to
registration.
Vote. They do this all the time. So they get mailing lists. You can rent or buy mailing lists from different other organizations. They probably did it with this. It's not giving him an ability to vote, just for clarity's sake.
I'm still stuck on something else. Every time I think about an election in Michigan, I hear Howard Dean in my head. Michigan, you know. That whole thing.
Right.
Yeah, that guy.
Right.
Always kills me.
All right.
Anyway.
And the countdown continues.
The Scott Robbins trifecta, top three of the day.
And finally, one.
Number one, cancer surgeons are being told to pledge allegiance to DEI.
Yeah, applicants for a job in an oncology surgery department at the University of California, Davis, are now required to pledge their allegiance to the ideology of diversity, equity, and inclusion.
No.
You can't make this kind of stuff up either. The university's website states, in evaluating statements of contributions to diversity, equity, and inclusion, search committees also look at these applicants, consider these applicants if they have awareness of inequities and challenges faced by underrepresented minority students and faculty. Track record of activities that reduce barriers in education or research for underrepresented minority students and faculty. Vision and plans on how their work will continue to contribute to UC Davis's mission to serve the needs of our diverse state and student population and create an inclusive campus. Now, according to College Fix, which first reported this scandal, such policies, according to them and others, not only risk the quality of applicants to this role, but also is probably running afoul of the First Amendment.
Just no.
If there's one place, you know, where only the best and the brightest can succeed, it's the person that cracked my chest open.
Yeah.
It's the person who is your oncologist. It's that person. Somebody there, based on the color of their skin, this shouldn't even be in question.
It shouldn't, but you think about how many doctors in the United States, we were just talking about the trans issue with kids and puberty blockers, have said this is the best thing we can do.
Oh, I know.
It's terrible.
And there you have it.
Yes, Scott Robbins.
Dang!
Top three of the day. There you go.
I'm sorry, but I need to see your DEI score before I let you, I don't know, give me open heart surgery.
I think you have a choice at that point. Got to get to a news update, and Nimrod's in the news straight ahead. Spring is here, and that means making plans for home projects, summer plans, and vacations.
Something else you can do for your family this spring? Shopping for life insurance with Policy Genius as part of your financial planning for the year.
You know, getting life insurance today means you'll have peace of mind so that if something were to happen to you, your family can cover expenses while getting back on their feet.
Policy Genius has licensed, award-winning agents and technology that makes it easy to compare life insurance quotes from America's top insurers in just a few clicks to find your lowest price.
With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million worth of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams.
Policy Genius works for you, not the insurance companies. That means they don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another.
Save time and money and provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius.
Head to PolicyGenius.com and get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save.
That's PolicyGenius.com.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Blue Star Medicated Ointment gets 5-star reviews from our loyal users for fast relief of the pain and itch of almost any skin irritation.
Blue Star soothes insect bites and fungal infections.
It really works on the summer rashes I get every year.
I had psoriasis on my elbows. Blue Star worked wonders.
Amazing stuff. Smear a bit on and the itch is gone.
Look for the white box with the Blue Star in the first aid section. Feel Blue Star work fast or your money back.
The Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins. Baseball season's here. Scott, he's excited.
Yeah.
Playoff basketball, playoff hockey. It's a great time to check out Prize Picks.
Yeah, it really is. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball and hockey to League of Legends, everything in between.
Yeah, and Prize Picks, by the way, even offers injury insurance. So your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. Now, for instance, a basketball games, if you got a player who exits the game in the first half and doesn't return in the second, Prize Picks is going to have your back and not count that as a loss.
They also have weekly promotions, special offers for the biggest moments in sports. It's simple to play. Van Camp makes his pick in 60 seconds. Doesn't overthink it.
Yeah, you can't overthink it. All you got to do is do a tiny bit of research, and you pick more and you pick less. That's it. Prize Picks now offers Apple Pay for quick and easy deposits into your account. Download the app today. Use code MVCR for a first deposit match up to $100.
That's code MVCR on Price Picks for a deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that simple.
All right. Speaking of overthinking it, we'll have to put together a Friday Five later today. You think I'll overthink it?
Yes,
you always do.
Maybe it's important. Maybe you shouldn't just half-ass things. Yeah. Anyway, news update, David Van Camp.
I just like to go home before we're here 16 hours.
It's like you're tattooing it on your newborn son. I mean,
right.
You got to make sure it's right.
I was just taught that if you're going to do something, try to do it as well as you can.
Well, Bobby Knight of the Friday Five.
It appears to that police have raided the encampment on Columbia University's main lawn and proceeded with mass arrests after the students spent over 24 count them hours protesting to demand Columbia divest entirely from Israel. I saw a video of two college kids, and they were like, yeah, we got suspended. They're in their little tent. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought they were bluffing. I didn't know they deactivated my ID. We're That's staying, really though. Sad. We're staying. Yeah.
Yeah.
They say nervously. Yeah.
Of course. Until your dad gets a hold of you.
Just say they got to call home now.
Yeah, right? No kidding. Oops. All right, Nimrods, I think it already started.
When the going gets tough.
Damn it, this is too hard.
The dumb get dumber.
All right, Dean.
It's Nimrods in the News on the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
I love the poorly educated.
All right. Nimrods in the News, we go to Ohio. Woman there, robbed by a person, claiming to be Aaron Rodgers online.
Okay.
They met on a messaging app called Viber.
Hmm.
They'd talked for a couple of months. She was confident it was him because the profile picture had a photo of Aaron Rodgers.
Well, sure it did.
He had a Green Bay Packers hat on. He plays for the Jets. And she said he talked about himself personally. Okay. She was so sure it was legit, she gave him her driver's license information. Aaron said, hey, my lawyer will send you 10 grand to get you out of this place you're in, but you got to send him 800 first.
Okay.
Yeah, they're trying to track down this guy. She's out the money, and that's Nimrods in the News.